Well, last week we started thanking the Lord for the 30 years that He'd given us. And we're going to continue on this week. And I have to admit, the temptation is, I got almost a new crowd just to preach the whole sermon over again. But I'm not going to do that. But by the time I've reviewed and all, we'll see how far I get. We're still going on by the grace of God after 30 years. Landmark Baptist Church first met in my house in Homestead, Florida on July the 14th, 1985. And we've been going on since by the grace of God. And we've been a little bit bigger at times and even a little bit smaller at times. But by the grace of God, we went on. Brother Pruffle was with us fairly early on. I don't know the first time he came out. It had to be in the early 90s maybe, or when was Sarah born? It was before Sarah was born in 88. So it was before Sarah was born. So Brother Pruffle was out, was with us in 88 or 87, I guess. Huh? She was due. So he was with us fairly early on there when we were still in Homestead. He was in the Air Force down there at Homestead Air Force Base. So the Lord's been good. We've always been small. We've always been but a remnant. But the Bible kind of talks about that. You know, the things we stand for and the things we proclaim are pretty much universally rejected in this day and age. And again, the Lord more or less told us we could expect that. You go preaching sovereign grace, people don't want to hear that. You go preaching about the pagan holidays or the sanctity of marriage or the preservation of God's word, on and on. That's not what's with it today. They don't want to sing the kind of songs we sing. You know, those old hymns and those that glorify God rather than uplift man. And as I said, some would look at us and say, well, after this time, and this is what you... Why don't you close the doors? Why don't you quit? You know, why are you keeping on? And well, there's several reasons. And we looked at some last week. We'll look at more this week, but quick way of a review where we were last week. We keep on, number one, because God has called us to this ministry. You know, and I identify with Ezekiel in that, where the Lord spoke to Ezekiel in Ezekiel 2 and verse 3, and He said... And He said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even to this very day. For they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. And they, whether they hear, or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall they know that there hath been a prophet among them. No, the Lord's called me to this ministry. And He said, proclaim, thus saith the Lord. And whether they hear, or whether they forbear, that's not the point. They'll know there's been a prophet in their midst. And again, that word prophet in the scriptures, we all often think of someone who foretells the future. But the base meaning of it is one, a forth teller. You know, we forth tell. We say what God tells us to. We say, like what He told Ezekiel here, we say, thus saith the Lord. And that is the base meaning of what a prophet is. And so by the grace of God, we continue on because the Lord's called us to this ministry. As Paul wrote to the saints in Corinth, and he said, For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. So by the grace of God, we continue on these 30 years because the Lord has called us to this. Second, and related to that, we continue on. The Lord's called us to this ministry, and we know we couldn't quit if we wanted to. Although there might be times we want to quit, there might be many times we thought we'd could do something else and just leave it behind? You remember the Old Testament prophet Jeremiah? Things got pretty rough for him, and he wanted to quit. You know, at different times they dug a hole and threw him in it. They did all kind of bad stuff to him, said all kind of bad things about him, and he told the Lord, he said, "Lord, this isn't what I signed up for." I'm going to tell you what, when I resigned my commission in the Marine Corps and went off to seminary, I didn't think it was going to be like this. You know, he thought, well, you go get a preacher, you be a preacher. At that time, the Lord saved me in an independent church, but at that time when I was in the military and got back into church, it was a Southern Baptist church. They seemed all right, I thought, until I got to their cemetery and it was a liberal hellhole. But anyway, you know, but I thought, well, you go off, you go to seminary, you get called to a big Southern Baptist church, everything's, you know, you just, there you go. Well, it wasn't that way. It didn't come out that way. I'm glad it didn't. Thank God it didn't. And from where I sit today, I wouldn't want any of that mess. But, you know, there you are, looking up the bottom of the hole, and Jeremiah says, "This isn't what I signed up for. This isn't what I wanted." He said, "This isn't what you told me, Lord." Well, the Lord did tell him. Jeremiah wasn't listening. But anyway, in Jeremiah 20 and verse 9, Jeremiah says, "Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name." So I quit. "But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay." Jeremiah said, "I tried to quit. I said, I wasn't going to preach anymore, but I couldn't quit." And I think when the Lord calls us to something that He's truly called us to and put us there, you know, He's not going to let us quit. Even though we may want to. We talked about the Apostle Peter last week, too, you know, at a time. And Peter had failed, and I know there's times in my own life, you know, I fail. I don't live up to what I thought. And so Peter's, you know, kind of discouraged and down on himself. And Peter was going to quit, you know, during the Lord's resurrection ministry. Peter says, "Simon Peter said unto him, I go fishing. I'm going to go back to what I used to do." That's the easy thing. And I don't know that I'm really called cut out for this preaching stuff. I tell you honestly, sometimes I wonder why the Lord, you know, I'm not what they call a, quote, people person. Really, you know, and I said, why did the Lord call me to do this? You know, and the same thing Moses did too. He said, "Lord, I'm not good at speaking. You send somebody else. Find somebody else." But the Lord's got His own plans and ways and reasons, and I don't know what they are. So there you are. There you go. And so finally the Lord told Peter, after he said, "I go fishing," and, you know, they went through the process of some other things, but He just told Peter, says, "You go feed my sheep." Peter, if you love me, then you go feed my sheep. That's what I want you to do. That's what I've called you to do. And you can't say, "Well, I'm just going to go fishing." No. No, I'm sure Peter recreation fished a little bit in between then and there. That isn't the point. You know, he didn't make his life's work fishing after the Lord had called him to preach. And speaking of fish, we think of another fellow who tried to quit, right? Jonah. And he said, "I quit. I'm not going to go do what you told me to." And the Lord said, "Jonah, how would you like to be fish food for a while?" You know? And so a whale swallows Jonah. And Jonah gets to think about that a little bit, and he said, "You know what? If I get out of this mess, I think I'd go do what the Lord told me to." You know, and then the whale throws him up, and Jonah, he still wasn't all totally thrilled about it. He wasn't happy with the way things went, but that doesn't matter. You know, the Lord calls us to this. They called Jeremiah the weeping prophet. You know what I think about that too, and it, I didn't touch on this last week. But folks will come up with some of the strangest things. They'll come up to you and they'll say, "You know, God can't use a discouraged man." What women? But there was Jeremiah, there was Jonah, there was Peter. You go, "If God can. God can use anything and anybody He wants to. And God can't use a discouraged..." Yeah, He did. The weeping prophet. God used him. And so, you know, maybe even if we're not all tap dancing all the time, the Lord's still going to use us if He's called us to it. that makes me feel good too, because I'm not always one of those kind of tap dancing kind of guys, you know. So the Lord works these things out in His perfect will. So we continue on because the Lord's called us to this ministry. We know He wouldn't let us quit if we wanted to. And number three, we continue on because I have to give an account for my own household. You know, if there wasn't anybody else, I have to give an account for my own household. Paul wrote to young Timothy, who was pastor at the church at Ephesus, and he said to him, "But if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." I mean, if I quit, where was I going to go to church? Where would I take my family to church? Honestly, you know, there's not any place I know of that I could, at least, you know, within driving distance, I could take my family to church in conscience. And I know of very few anywhere. And so if it was just for me and my family, you know, it's necessary to go on. Or if I did quit, then what would I want? I'd have to go start someplace else. I'll be honest with you. I know that there's not a lot of places I can stomach it. Yeah, again, I have the luxury, I guess, of being the preacher. So, you know, I always agree with what I'm saying up here, at least for right now. Sometimes I disagree with it next week, or, you know, I disagree with some of the things I proclaim now, you know, way back when, before the Lord taught me some things. But, you know, I have the luxury of, well, I'm the preacher. You know, so I don't think I could stand going. I've got up and left Baptist gatherings where, you know, they started playing blasphemous Battle Hymn of the Republic. You know, I couldn't endure that. Or they pick up and start reading from the English Standard Version or some of those other perversions. I'm not saying they're not children of the Lord. I don't know. The Lord knows our hearts. But I can't endure that. The Lord's taught me enough that I couldn't put up with that. And I know I couldn't endure sitting down and listen to somebody preach some kind of Arminian sermon. You know, and it's all up to you, and you do. God's waiting on you, and God's wringing His hands and waiting to see what you're going to do. And all the, I couldn't stand that. I could not endure that. I would probably get physically ill. And so, you know, what am I to do? I have to have a place to go to church and to bring my family. And I raised up three girls. They're all grown now. They may not be exactly where I am theologically and politically and whatever, but they're in the ballpark. They're probably pretty much on the same bleacher. And, you know, it's and that's God's grace. That's all I can say. Yeah, there's some bones I maybe would pick, you know, whatever. But that's done. The Lord's been good. Joshua, the Old Testament saint Joshua said, in Joshua 24:15, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua, y'all do what you want to. You know, Baptists don't believe in forcing folks. You can't anyway. Now the Lord can, but you can't. You know? Joshua said, "Y'all do what you want to. That's fine." I think Joshua was a good Southern boy. He wasn't a Yankee. Like the Yankees said, "Everybody's got to think just like I do. Everybody's got to believe just like I do. Everybody's got to do just like I do. And if you don't, we'll make you." No, Joshua didn't say that. He said, "Fine. Y'all go do whatever you want to. You want to go serve those other guys that your father..." He said, "You go do that. That's fine. I'm not concerned with what you do." You know, to the point of having to force you. He said, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And again, we look back and in the history of our Baptist forefathers, and even those men who had a part in founding this country. Now, they always had that concept of posterity. You know, those who were going to come behind me, those who were going to follow me. You know, we ought to have that concept, that thought, that concern. You know, Noah, I mentioned him, he preached for over 100 years. And the only folks that came on that ark with him was his family. That was it. He preached to everybody. Made everybody mad. Made everybody think he was crazy. But by the grace of God, he brought his family on that ark. Then, by the way, the ark was exactly the size God intended it to be, and so that it would fit exactly whom he intended to fit on there. Now, Noah didn't understand or know all that necessarily, but God did. God did. Okay, brings me to my fourth point. And that's where we left off last time. Were we to just up and close the doors, we would be sinning against God's faithfulness in the past. I mean, God's brought us these 30 years. He's always provided. He's always been there. We've never wanted anything. And we just say, I'm going to quit. Well, God's been faithful. How could we justify that? He's met every need that we've had right up to the present. And a lot of needs we didn't know we had. He's blessed more than we can enumerate. You know, like I said, we started there in my house in Homestead in Leisure City, actually. See, then we went to the Berkshire School and rented a room there. Then we rented a room in what used to be an old motel. I forget the name of that motel there in Homestead. But it used to be a motel when I was a kid. Rented a room there. Then the Lord led us to purchase that property in downtown Homestead, which was an old florist shop and actually was just an old cracker home. And we put a lot of work into that. You know, it was shambles when we got it, but the Lord let us do that, and the Lord decided to take that away. And he sent us up here. Brother Pruffel was here. The Lord used him. Said, you all, well, come look up here anyway, since you're looking around, and, you know, you don't really have anything to tie you down there, and it was getting worse and worse down there. What was going on after the hurricane and the building codes that we're coming up with and everything else. And the Lord led us right here to this place. And what turned out to be, I think, pretty much perfect circumstances for us. Just right here. The Lord brought us here. And the Lord's been faithful through all these things. And if we were just to up and quit after he'd done all that, you know, what would that be? What excuse could we have for that? He continues to provide. How can we just say, well, I quit. Why? Well, I don't know. 2 Kings 17, verse 7. For so it was that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, which brought them up out of the land of Egypt, from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. They had the children of Israel. I mean, God led them through Red Sea, part of the sea, destroys the Egyptian army, you know, and then they turn around and sin against them. Well, that's the way humans are. You know, it's not beyond, you know, the realm that, you know, we could do similar stuff. I'm sure we have. But there's certainly no excuse for it. It's a grievous sin. The children of Israel sinned against the Lord their God, which brought them up out of Egypt and from under the hand of Pharaoh. Well, how could we do that? Deuteronomy 2:7, the verse I put on that bookmarker I gave everybody, says, for the Lord thy God hath blessed thee in all the works of thy hand. He knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness these 40 years. And some liberties there. We've got 30, not 40, but who knows? The Lord might allow us to have 40. Probably not another 30, like my friend said. How old would I be then? Like 95? You know, I'm already kind of half losing my mind, so by then that would be really interesting. And I wander a little bit when I'm preaching like I am right now, but I've listened to some old guys preach that get a whole lot worse than I do. And Deuteronomy 2:7, for the Lord thy God has blessed thee with in all the works of thy hand. He knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness. He knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness. You know, the children of Israel, I'm sure things got tough sometimes. They said, hey, Lord, can't you see what's happening down here? You know, don't you know what's going on? Of course he does. Sometimes we don't think that. We think, come on, you can't know what's happening here. He does. He's got a purpose and a reason for it. He knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness, these 40 years the Lord thy God hath been with thee. Thou hast lacked nothing. These 40 years the Lord thy God hath been with thee. Thou hast lacked nothing. And the Lord's been good. You know, he's brought this little flock together. Brother Dale, we met back way when we went up, in the 90s too? Sometime in there. And the Lord eventually kind of closed some doors up there and led him to ask to join us and be with us on Skype and come visit us once, at least once a year. The Lord's done that stuff. He brought this little flock together. Brother Hal, I wrote a letter to the editor of the newspaper. Brother Hal noted that and kept it away someplace. It was years later that he finally came to visit us. He said, I'm going to go see these crazy people. And he found out how really crazy we were. But then, you know, the Lord made him fit in. The Lord did all that. The Lord, it may not be a huge flock, but you know, it's an interesting one. I'll say that. You know, it is the Lord that's brought us together. Now, you just look at all the little pieces and you can't figure it all out. Just, you can't, but God can. He knows our walking through the wilderness. Thou hast lacked nothing. When the Lord spoke to his church before ascending, in Matthew 28 and verse 20, he said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. You know, that's by the grace of God what we hope to do. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And he says this, and lo, I'm with you alway. I'm with you alway, even unto the end of the world. I'm with you alway, even to the end of the world. Now, when the Lord promises to be with us alway, even to the end of the world, what excuse would we have for quitting? You know, he said, I'm going to be with you. So how could we quit? How could we even think of quitting under those circumstances? He's ever been with us. In Philippians 4, 19, Paul writes, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But my God shall supply all your need. Now, with those promises, with those assurances, and with the playing out of those promises that we've seen in the past, these past 30, how could we, what possible excuse could we have to just up and quit? In Hebrews 13 and verse 5, Paul writes this, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The Lord is here. You know, Christians are indwelt of Christ individually. But there's a special sense in which the Lord comes in the midst of his people as we gather here. The Lord is here in our midst. in a special sense. And the Lord says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So in the light of His faithfulness, and we are the most unfaithful of creatures, and it might seem from the human perspective something easy to do, but I don't think He'd let us. But how could we, in the light of that, in light of His faithfulness, just say, well, we up and quit? No, I don't think we can. Okay. We'll continue next week. We'll have a 3-week, 30-year anniversary. How great is that, huh? And it's good that we had our brother Pruffel with us. And last week we had the Gregories with us. And this week we have the Tenseis and the Salvadors with us. And who knows, you know. But the Lord is good. The Lord is good. The Lord's met all our needs. He's been with us as we went through this wilderness these 30 years. And we have the assurance that He'll continue with us. So by the grace of God, and it's only by His grace, it's not because of this preacher, but it's by the grace of God, you know, we'll continue on. Who knows? You know, the Lord may lead us to something else. The Lord may bring something our way. The Lord may come and take me home. He may come and take us all home. And that'd be okay with me too. That'd be just fine with me. But He knows, and we trust Him to work out His perfect will and all those things. So let's take our hymnal this morning and stand and sing together number 163, and what I was just talking about, that blessed assurance that we have. Number 163.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this day. Lord, we thank Thee for the blessings of being able to come together as Your people, as Your flock, as Your church. And Lord, as we reflect on Your faithfulness these past 30 years, it is more than we can enumerate. It is more than our little puny brains could even recall. Lord, we thank We thank thee that thou art a sovereign God, that you knew of all of our wanderings and of all of our needs. And Lord, by your grace, we've lacked nothing. Oh, there may have been times, Lord, we may have counted things that we thought we lost, and yet you've brought better. Lord, I thank you for this little flock. I thank you for each one that you brought to be with us. I thank you for the visitors you brought our way today and that you've brought in the past several weeks. Lord, we pray for your grace to continue on. If it be your will, you give us the health and the strength to do so. But Lord, we, above all else, desire your will. We pray that we might be conformed to your image, that our will truly become what yours is. Lord, we pray for our brothers in the ministry, our sister churches, as they meet today, and many that have already met. Father, we pray you give your people strength, discernment, wisdom in these times in which we live, that we might stand as you would have us to. We might stand not for what may seem right in the eyes of man, but for those eternal truths that you've passed down, even as you told your servant Ezekiel to proclaim, "Thus saith the Lord." Thank you, Lord, for preserving those truths that we can pick up and read your Bible today. Pray, Lord, your hand upon those that are ill, and Lord, that you might comfort their hearts, and if it be your will, you might restore them to health. Father, thank you for our Savior, for that love that spanned eternity. And Lord, we know, even as we did listen to that old song, "Jesus Loves Me," we love you only because you first loved us. Or we know that we would be incapable of loving thee had you not loved us first. And Lord, we thank you that love is efficacious. That there's not one whom you've loved that'll perish. And Father, we've sang blessed assurance, and that assurance is in thee alone. Is in our Savior. And in his atoning death. And it's in his precious name that we pray. Amen.